When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Nothing beats terminal parking at Melbourne Airport. Book online for the best rates at melbourneairport.com.au.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson. The Good Oil for Cobram Estate. Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil. Grown, harvested and first cold pressed in northern Victoria.
You're incorrigible, Whispers. I don't get into trouble these days very often, but you are the one that take me down that path.
What path are you talking about?
Well, I'm not going to do the quick sticks.
aren't you?
No, not at this stage. It depends if we get a bit bored. Big round of footy. Round six. Oh,
it is a magnificent...
Let me run through the games for you, Wiss, because this is what we like to do on a Thursday. St Kilda take on the Western Bulldogs. Then Adelaide take on Essendon, Collingwood take on Port, Carlton take on the Giants, the Lions take on the Cats, Eagles and the Dockers and the Derby, Swans and the Red Hot Suns, and then the winless North and the Hawks. If you can only watch one game this weekend, this is a great question I came up with in the meeting. If you can only watch one game this weekend, you can only pick one.
One.
No others.
Right.
Which is it?
You got a blackout on every other game.
Every other game is a blackout. 0-4-0-3-9-8-11-16, 1-300-736-736, join in this. One game only. Do you sit down tonight and watch the Saints and the Dogs? Do you wait for Saturday and see whether Port can get the job done at MCG? Do you wait until Saturday night to see the Lions host the Cats? Or you go, nah, I'm saving it all up for the curiosity of North and Hawthorn.
Do you know what? I think for me, I've changed my mind since we spoke about this before we came on air this morning. I'm going to go for, I think the game that we learn the most from in terms of what might happen at the pointy end of the season.
That's not the question. You're thinking about it too much.
Okay, well, I've thought about it a lot. I think it's Collingwood and Port at the MCG.
Well, that's
the
a Garrity, good answer.
I'm actually calling it the Garrity game. Twilight Gary's going there.
It's not Twilight.
That's a 1:45 Saturday. Yeah. It'd be a massive crowd there.
Massive.
Because I think fans love the 1:45 start at the MCG.
Huge.
I think it'll be I reckon they could get nearly 70,000 there at the MCG, even though they're playing against Port Adelaide. There'll be a lot of Collingwood fans there. I think that is the game that we're going to learn. Collingwood was still thinking, okay, have they got it or they haven't got it?
It's a great point.
Can they turn it on? Can't they turn it
it's
on?
A great question. It's a great
How
question.
Good are Port yep. on the road? They need to be able to do that and replicate some of the form they've shown in Adelaide on the road. Can they do it?
That's exactly the line we were taking when we talked about it with our guys who are doing the show. It's got righto. The shiny new toy is the Port. It's Butters and Rosie and Hornfree. They're coming to town. They're coming, and you want to test yourself. So are they the best in the competition? Maybe not quite, but I'll tell you what. They go to the MCG, the reigning premiers, fresh off a freshen up, who have had an ordinary start to the season. Now we'll find out about you boys. See, and then for the other side of it, you go, okay, the Magpies, you've had a weekend off. Maybe they caught you on the hop a bit. You know, shortened pre-season, all that sort of stuff. You've had a long time to get ready. You know what's coming. Let's see whether you're going to be the real deal or not.
It sounds like you've had a good think about this.
That's our game, so I did a bit of thinking
about it.
You've
done some work already, have you? Hey, just on the premiership window, let's talk about tonight. I'm just interested in this matchup because I think this is a tightly matched game between the Bulldogs and the Saints tonight. On your little premiership window.
It's too early for the window.
I know it's a little bit early, but where have they been placed after the early rounds so far this season?
The Saints are where you need every premiership team in recent times in the last 18 years to be. And that's in the top six defensively. You have to be top six defensively.
Yep.
They're there. And that's no great surprise because that's what Ross Lyon teams do. They don't get split open.
No, they don't.
No one splits up. Very rarely they get split open. But they've got to get more potent. when they go forward. They've got to score more, Wisp.
Yeah, I know. But
offensively, they're not. That's the area where they've got to get better at. And Max King's not playing tonight, so it's going to be a bigger challenge. But they know that. Everyone knows that.
They don't have a gun-loaded elite mid-forward line, though, do they?
No, they don't.
And the other side does, potentially, even though Jamari Ugle-Hagan's not playing tonight.
Mm.
They've still got Norton down there. Darcy can go forward. They've brought Rory Lobb back into the side. Yeah. Waitman's a goal kicker. They look better suited in that part against the St Kilda defence, but their team defence is very good, as you say. Will they borrow anything from the way that Essendon went after the Bulldogs last Friday night?
Well, you're talking about the fact that Durham went to Bontempelli, not as a hard lockdown, but as an accountable midfielder against the best player in the comp, and Caldwell went to Liberatore. They haven't got Liberatore to worry about. So, yeah, I guess they put work into the Bont, but that... Look, lots of clubs are trying to put work in the Bont. Doesn't always work. It did last week, and I would, if I was a betting man, I would suggest that the Bont wouldn't have another game like he did last week. That's just what you'd think off the top.
It was a rare quiet game for him.
Mm.
Are you surprised that they brought Rory Lobb into the team to replace Jamari Ugle-Hagan?
So they've got a Norton-Darcy 1-2 punch from a height point of view, English in the ruck. So you think they'd cover that with Darcy being able to pinch hit and give English a chop out. So a
they could have. Yeah, but they can. By playing Lobb, they'll stretch. If they get enough of the ball supply, they will stretch the St Kilda defence.
Well, the St Kilda defence doesn't get stretched that often. So Battle, Cordy and Wilkie would be enough to handle that combination, any combination of that. Well, when I say handle it.
None of those guys are big.
They match up with them okay.
None of those guys are big.
Cordy's tall.
No, he's not that big.
How tall's Cordy? We'll do some work on that. But they play tall.
Yeah, well, they are their tall defenders, but they're not big blokes.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good matchup. It's a really good matchup. 195 Cordy, and you're talking about 200s, the other guys, aren't you? With Darcy. Darcy's 210 or something, isn't he?
Yeah. I know we talk about this kid a lot, but there is a lot to like about the way that he plays.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much more that he can give. I was talking to somebody about him during the week, and he missed out on selection early in the season. And they told him, okay, these are the things you need to do. You need to go back to the VFL. You need to play there. And the way that you're going to end up back in the team is by forcing your way back in by your numbers and performance. And that's exactly what he did. So he's got that desire and that competitive stamina about him as well.
We don't tip often, but which way are you leaning at this particular stage of the day at 7:10 in the morning?
Well, I'm just thinking about the five-day break that the Saints have, and I'm thinking about the pressure that's been applied to the Bulldogs. They'll come out, they'll be a snarly team tonight. So I think just based on that, because there's not a lot between these two teams in terms of the talent they're going to put out there. So I'm going to go with them.
You're blowtorching, you think the blowtorch has just singed them a bit.
Well, it always does, doesn't it? Like, it gets a reaction. Now, it's not a lasting reaction, but it's an attitude change potentially. And they were poor. They were really poor in the competitive nature about the way they went about the game last week.
They were.
I mean, that's something that they don't normally, like a beverage coach team doesn't normally display like they did last week. I'm expecting there going to be a reversal there.
I don't want to tell you who just gave me this information, but the Saints belted the Dogs by 51 points early last year.
That's last year though, Gary.
Who gave me that?
Brooke, did he?
He did. Of course he did. I'm leaning a bit towards your line of thinking. There's hardly anything between them. But I wouldn't be investing. That's for sure.
No, and Jack Steele was back to his All-Australian best last week too. He was the number one player on the ground.
So will he go to Bont or will Windhager go to Bont?
No, I think Rossi likes to... He likes his midfield to play a cannibal type of football anyway. So I think it might be winner. Oh, Seb Ross has done those jobs as well, where he
nepotism.
He's played as the cooler and done a good job doing that as well.
Marshall and English is going to be pivotal. Pivotal. Rowan Marshall's a very, very fine player.
Yeah, I tell you what, English got away with a poor game last week, and I don't think he got the blowtorch applied to him nearly enough. You'd expect that he would have been a lot stronger and a lot more aggressive around the ball last week.
I don't think he was missed. I think
who got him?
I think Lethal got him.
Lethal did.
I think Lethal got him.
I didn't know that.
He might have used the S word.
Not the four letter one.
The four letter S word.
That's the most dangerous word that you can have applied to you, one.
If I was going to watch a game this, if I had to apply my own very good question to myself, I think, and you'll laugh at this, I think I'd wait until Sunday 4:05
for the game of the round.
North and Hawks.
Okay. What, because of?
Well, because they both haven't won. The coaches don't like each other. Mm. The Hawks have had that week. You reckon the blowtorch is on the Western Bulldogs. The Hawks have been absolutely woeful. North Melbourne got smashed by Geelong. You'd think that'd be a pretty desperate sort of encounter. I'm not sure it's
the
most beautiful game you'll ever see, but in terms of how badly teams want to win...
No, there'll be some desperation around that. Hey, just on our tiny little show last night, Trent Cotchin, this was a very interesting grab that he gave regarding whether or not Dusty and Liam Baker would both be at Richmond next year. Have a listen to what he said.
Will either Dusty Martin or Liam Baker be wearing different colours to a Richmond jumper next year, Trent Cotchin?
I believe that one of them, if not both, will not be in Richmond colours next year.
Whoa.
Well, the numbers being thrown around for Bakes.
Who, where?
Well, Baker, the numbers that I'm hearing from West are pretty significant.
What sort of voice is Jim going with there?
A high-pitched one?
Very high. Is that a segment?
Well, that's a...
What's that segment called?
That's
Questions
a,
Without Notice.
That's a raise-your-eyebrows type response there from Trent Cotchin.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Not surprised at that answer. And Baker would be the one you'd be most concerned about.
And I wonder how Richmond fans think about all of this, because also there was a story on Channel 10 last night about the fact that Daniel Rioli had been up to the Gold Coast the last few days, wandering around. There was a suggestion.
He's got the bye.
Yeah, I know, but there was a suggestion that he dropped in and maybe toured the facility had a chat to his old mate Dimmer. That was the report on Channel 10's news last night.
Really?
But he's contracted until 2027.
Oh, well, he's not going.
They'd want to keep him.
No, he'd be a priority.
Yeah, but so would Liam Baker. But there's a price at which you can keep some. This is my point. There's a price at which you can keep something. And the numbers that have been bandied around.
What are the numbers?
Are massive.
What numbers?
Well, up around the $1 million.
For Liam Baker.
Yes, for Liam Baker.
Who I love, we all love. Well, Hugh McCluggage, while we're on that, if I'm Hugh McCluggage's manager, I don't know who it is, just don't say anything to anyone, because he's out of contract and he's a free agent. I think he's a free agent. The more you remain silent, the more his price goes up. I just read today he's expected to receive offers, I don't know if this is right, Wisp, 1.3 plus.
That's a lot of money.
I'm pretty sure 8 weeks ago it was, I reckon McCluggage is going to be a $1 million player. He's gone up $300,000 in about 4 weeks. He's not that good.
Yeah, no, he's a very good midfielder.
No, he is.
He's a very good player.
He is.
He let his footy do the
but
talking.
But hang on, when I say that he's not that good, I don't want to be quoted like yesterday's Wake Up Jeff. He, in my mind, the 1.3 is, he hasn't won a best and fairest. Hugh McCluggage. He hasn't been an All-Australian Hugh McCluggage. That's the sort of money I expect. That's the sort of resume I expect for those sorts of figures.
Liam Baker, the other thing that comes with Liam Baker, though, there is some suggestion that he might be, or they would consider him to be the captain next year as well. You're not just getting Liam Baker player flexibility, also getting a leader,
I'm a bit old school when it comes to... I've got to get my head around the fact that the salary cap's going to be around $17 million. So $1 million is the old 700.
John's in Mill Park. What do you think about this discussion, John?
Good morning, Barry. Thanks for taking the call. I'm someone that, even though you don't want to lose these players, but I don't think Blair Hartley's just going to allow these guys to walk away without first-round picks. I mean, Baker will definitely be worth the first-round pick, and if Rioli decides to go, unfortunately, I don't agree with what was being discussed yesterday at the academy. So Gold Coast is going to have to cough up. And for me, it's about loading up with draft picks, which he's already done this year. He's loaded with draft picks already this year in the second and third round, which obviously there'll be a plan to have Carlton pick up the two Campriale boys. And moving forward, you've got to have picks. And I see that as being a very smart and tactical move if they decide to leave.
Okay, yeah, so it's enough. A thumbs up from Johnny Mill Park. Yeah, I wonder whether other Richmond fans share that view.
And the only issue would be is that if it's, I don't know who's offering the money for Liam, if it's the West Coast Eagles, Whispers, they can walk him, assuming they finish in the bottom couple, which we think they will. North aren't going to pick up Liam Baker if they, in fact, finish last, so they'll just walk him.
What do you think his assets are, Liam Baker?
No, he's everything that people talk about. Heart and soul, leader, someone you'd hate to lose.
Midfielder, but, though?
He can play in the midfield, yep. He can play back, he can play forward, he can play everywhere, Liam Baker. And wherever he goes, he tries his guts out. He gives everything he's got. And he's got more polish than you perhaps give him credit for. He's a beauty. He's an absolute beauty. And you'd hate to lose him. Let's hope that's not the case for Adam Uze, whose initiation to senior coaching right now, 28 players to pick from, is pretty tough. We'll take a break.